Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Tuesday to everyone, and welcome out to Tuesday night newcomers class. When we are starting a new lesson on tonight, it is called the Kingdom Communities. And I see I spelled that word wrong. Kingdom Communities. And this is really just talking about the church. And before we get started, I want to explain something. I'm using the word community here because it seems to be easier to understand the concept rather than church or camp, because this is supposed to be a community. And in the community, when you have community, the community is supposed to watch out for one another. whether it's your house, whether it's your children. You know, they see your neighbor see your children out playing and doing something they ought not do, then your neighbor should, you know, should be able to at least stop your child. I'm sure if the neighbor saw your child running in the street, to run in front of a car, you'd want them to stop them and not say, well, no, it's not my child. Or if they saw them doing something, you know, that you was not age appropriate, like 10 years old and try to smoke a cigarette. And, you know, because they're not around the house, but they're around somebody else's house or around the corner, somebody sees them and you would want somebody, you know, to say something. Today, people get offended if you say anything to their children. You know, who are you to say anything to my child? Okay, well, next time I'll just let them run out in the street in front of that car. Or, you know, if I see them doing something illegal, then maybe I'll just call the police on them, you know, rather than trying to stop them and correct them. And then you got the children also being taught not to respect, you know, grown-ups. You don't have to listen to them, you know. And, of course, you don't want them listening to strangers. But we actually really should not be strangers with everybody we live around. I know that's hard today because, you know, I'm in one of those situations where my neighbors are strangers to me for the most part. You know, right across the street next to me. Yeah, but around the neighborhood, I don't even get out like that. But the body of Messiah is not supposed to be that way. And I think a lot of the problem is that we don't live in communities where we all go to the same church or to the same camp. You know, we're scattered. Even in the cities where we have a large presence, we don't really have communities where we all live in. And this is one of the problems that that I see in this walk. So we're going to be talking about the kingdom communities in you. You know, what is it all about? And this is about really salvation and living a saved life and living a Christian or a messianic life. So let us go ahead and do our statement of faith. Well, let me do this. Let me welcome everybody in Pal Talk, on Blog Talk, on the Internet, those who have called in. We greet you in the matchless name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. There is no other name up under heaven whereby men must be saved. And so we want to greet you in that name. We also want to welcome, you know, it seems like our overseas ministry is growing by leaps and bounds. We now have new listeners in Russia. 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, you know, we got some new listeners in Japan and in Korea. Now we, you know, are spreading into Russia. So we want to welcome all the new listeners. This is a global community. And, you know, so we welcome one and all, whether you are Hebrew, recognize yourself as Hebrew, or you recognize yourself as a Gentile. We greet you all in that master's name and welcome you to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry, and we hope that you are being fed well. I am encouraged. I am encouraged for the simple fact that, you know, people overseas are apparently getting a value and seeing a value in what they're hearing. And it is all about walking in the ways of the Most High. So we want to welcome you, and we pray that to hear from you at some point, no matter where you may be at. If you're in Russia or you're in Japan or Korea, Ghana, Colombia, Venezuela, Great Britain, England, South Africa, you know, we greet you, and we pray that you are receiving what you need to walk right, upright before the Most High. But I think I will add some things to the website so that if you are listening in those countries that you can drop me an email, or I'll put an email address in this announcement, that you can drop me an email and introduce yourselves wherever you may be listening at. All right, that being said, let us do our statement of faith. Our statement of faith: I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe that all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I am of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise on this afternoon, this evening, no matter where you're at. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, our Father and our Savior, our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. Father, we just want to magnify you and give you glory on today, for you are our Elohim, and you are our Elohim, and we will not serve another, Father. We will not bow down to another. Hallelujah. But we will look steadfastly towards you and serve only you. Father, we want to thank you for everything that you have done for us, everything that you're going to do for us. We thank you for your precious gift of salvation. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you for loving us, Father. And Father, we just glorify you on today. Hallelujah. 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 You are majesty upon majesty. You are glory from glory to glory. You are glorious, Father. And we just extol thee and lift thee up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You are our Elohim. You and you alone. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread, Father, and to study your word. Father, we want to welcome each and every person to the newcomers class. On this evening, Father, we pray that it be you that we hear from. Let Brother Miles decrease and you increase. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Let's get verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Ecclesiastes chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. All right. Shalom, Sister Mary. Shalom, Sister Denise.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
Shalom, Brother Miles.
How are we today?
Great.
Great.
Amen. Amen and amen. I put up a new video a few minutes ago of the Tote hydroponics unit that I've been working with. And I apologize to you guys for Sunday. I stayed up like really, really late, like to 2 or 3, maybe almost 4 o'clock in the morning, working on this stuff. And I simply just overslept. And so I apologize for not making it Sunday morning. But I put a video up of this tote. I'm not really sure if I'm happy with it, with this particular design. I will see. I think I'm going to change out a pump and see if I get, you know, higher spray than what I'm seeing. If not, I'm going to use it the way it is for right now, you know, and just test it out and see how it works. But we are moving forward. I built 8 of these units over the weekend, and then started, you know, putting them together, got the pumps in, and so, you know, we're moving right along. After we get through tonight, I will probably go out and finish putting, assembling everything was cut and put together, but now I have to actually, you know, just install the pumps and, you know, test them to see, you know, if they're leaking from the bottom and what have you. On one of them, I saw a small leak, the first one I did. I'm going to see if it's like that for the rest of them. But, yeah, this build, I'm thinking that if I'm understanding it correctly, I may come up with a different concept than what I have right now that should be, I'm thinking, as far as the plumbing goes, simpler, but we'll see, because I'm thinking that I can do this probably with just this is in more so of a rectangular shape, but I think I can do it in a T shape and get, you know, get the same performance, if not better. So we'll see. There's different ways of doing this. This is one that I saw on the internet. It looked like it was, you know, pretty simple. And it is actually, you know, pretty simple. But it took some time to just do it. But I think that I might be able to find a simpler and a better way that will cover more, you know, just the same amount of area and do the same thing. But we will see. So, you know, check your email when you have time. There should be a link in there. I believe it's already available. Has already been processed by Google. So it'll give you, I didn't do a step-by-step while I drilled the holes on this one because I couldn't hold the camera and do all that. So I just sort of showed you the finished product. As I'm putting some other ones together, I will go through and explain in more detail. But this one's just to, you know, give you an update and, you know, an overview. So check it out. Were you guys able to see the last video where I was showing the assembling of the manifold?
Yes.
All right, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So this one will be the complete unit. One complete unit that I'm showing. I had already drained the water, more or less. But it, you know, I think I'm going to go get some plants and put it in there and then see if I'm getting the same type of water coming through the top. I explained in the video why I did what I did, but I want to go get some plants and not necessarily grow these from seed, but just for one unit so I can see what the performance is going to be like. I may just leave it like it is. It may be, you know, good enough as is, and I'm just, you know, overthinking it, but we'll see. All right, so I'll put that up. You know, I'll videotape it and put it up as I go along. And again, if anybody has any ideals, you know, I don't care where you're at. If you got any experience with this, go ahead and shoot me an email and let me know, or, you know, come on and tell me about it. All right, let's jump into this precept. The kingdom community, okay? And this is, what I have done is, as I said, I have substituted the word community for church. And the reason that I did that is, the churches, as far as denominations, act kind of like a community, but Messiah didn't say that the church was supposed to be segmented that way. It's one body. So we shouldn't have saints that belong to this church that don't get along with saints that belong to this church if we're one body. Because we don't all believe the same thing, we don't all worship the same ways, then we got a problem. That's why I said we have to stick with what the Most High says in His Word. And one of the things that He doesn't give leeway on is to worship Him the way that we want to worship Him. And this lesson is not about that, but you know, it's worth bringing up because it causes major contentions in the body. You know, we're Baptist, we're Methodist, we're Hebrew Israelite, we're Catholic. Everybody doing something different. Saying they're worshiping the same God, but then as I'm looking at this thing, He is saying, hey, I ain't tell none of y'all to worship me how you wanted to worship me. I tell you specifically how I want to be worshiped. And so when we have everybody doing their own thing and believing in different ways of salvation, when He says there's only one way, then that causes problems. You know, so we get into a fragmented church, a fragmented camp, a fragmented body of Messiah. You know, and I, for one, really want to do as much as possible to get away from that. Because let's just go by what the Word of the Most High says, and let's throw the tradition of men out the window. Because He says, you by your tradition break the commandments of the Most High. So if we stick by this book, then we cannot go wrong. That is my position on this. So kingdom communities and you, because we're going to talk about the community. We're going to talk about which is the church. For Hebrew Israelites, it is the camp. But for the kingdom, it is community. And, you know, this word church, ecclesia, in the scriptures was meant, originally used to mean the called out ones, those that were called out into public for public worship. It sort of transitioned into that. But the community as a whole is more involved in that. So let's jump into this. Through the new birth experience, which is at times called being reborn again. Now, even this word reborn again, you got people out there that think that you're not reborn again until the resurrection. And the scriptures specifically teach against that because it says, beloved, now are we the sons of Elohim, not becoming. When you come to the Most High, and let me just put it this way, when you come to the Most High and you are filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and you're baptized in Messiah, then you become a son of the Most High. It's by his Spirit. And I think all the confusion comes in and people have these different doctrines and these different understandings when they don't have that experience, when they don't, you know, when you don't per se know that you are filled or haven't had the experience of being filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, with evidence, because, you know, I'm going to say it this way, and this is not to be mean or anything, but it is just to put it where everyone can get it. You should have the same experience as in this book. That's why it was written. So that you would know what the early church, what it went through and the experience that it had, you would know what on the day of Pentecost, what happened. You would know when the Ruach was released to the Gentiles and what happened. You would know when the disciples of John, when they got baptized, they were baptized in John's name. When they came back and got rebaptized in Messiah's name, they had not even heard of being filled with the Holy Ghost. But when Paul laid hands on them, they received the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues. These things are written for us, for our example and for our knowledge. And we should be asking the Most High, if we've not had these experiences, to allow us to have them so that we know that we know that we're lining up with the book. You know, we're not thinking that we're saved, but that we're knowing that we're saved. We're knowing that we're experiencing the same thing that is written in this book. And so that is my measure for myself. You know, I told the Most High I didn't want to be guessing. I didn't want to think that I was saved. I wanted to know. And, yeah, we have to continue until the end. Because, you know, it says, he that endureth to the end. You don't jump into this and, you know, you're in it today. And then 3 months later or 3 years later or 30 years later, you fall out. Especially if you've been filled with the Ruach. Why do I say that? If you've truly been filled with the Spirit of the Most High, to taste of that and then to go backwards, he says there is no more, there, you can't be reintroduced to it. You can't be, I need to get the scripture for this because I'm going to quote this wrong. You can't be renewed again. Because you've tasted of the Spirit of the Most High. When you slip and fall, then that's one thing. But to backslide and you've tasted of the Ruach HaKodesh, he says it's impossible for you to be renewed. Because you tasted of what the Most High is and you openly rejected him. And see, we think that, you know, these are small things, but they're not. But anyway, this is just laying a foundation so that we understand that to be born again is to be filled with the Spirit of the Most High. That's to be reborn, different than the regeneration. And the regeneration is in Matthew's. Let me get this so we can see this, because Messiah uses this word. And let's go to the scripture and read it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. the book of Matthew, chapter 19. Now let's get 28 and 29. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. Matthew chapter 28 and 29. And Yeshua said unto them, verily I say unto you, that you which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on his throne of his glory, you shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So in the regeneration, this is talking about the resurrection. This is not when you are born again. This is when Messiah descends from heaven with the trump of the Most High and with the trump of the archangel and a loud voice, and you come up out of the grave. If you're coming up in the first resurrection, you come up out of the ground. If you are still alive and you are part of that first resurrection, which we've talked about before, what you have to do to qualify for that, then you are resurrected. You are brought to life again. You are reunited and given your spiritual body. That's the regeneration. That's the resurrection. But to be born again is different. You got to be born again before you go into that grave. Because once you hit that grave, you ain't born again. Sorry, but it's too late. It is too late. And so we have to understand that. Okay. You are, that's why he says, now are we the sons of Elohim, while we are still alive in this body. But it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, like he really is. So you have to be reborn prior to entering into the grave. If you go to the grave and you've not had that born-again experience, it is too late. And the only, you're going to be resurrected, but you're not going to be resurrected to the kingdom. You're going to be resurrected to the lake of fire. You're not going to be in the Lamb's Book of Life, because everybody that's in the Lamb's Book of Life has been born again by the Spirit. That's why Messiah said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. That's got nothing to do with you receiving your spiritual body. That's the regeneration. Two separate events. And so we have to understand that. Okay. Through the new birth experience, which is at times called being born again, not to be confused with the future regeneration in the last day, we are all by one Spirit baptized into one body. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
And amen. Thank
amen.
You.
Amen.
Thank you. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. One Spirit. Not many spirits. Just one. And we're going to find out who that Spirit is. But one Spirit. What is in the mind here is the salvation of man. You should have already studied, and we have already studied in previous lessons, just how to be saved. When we are saved, we become a part of Messiah's body and individual members of it. Let's drop down to verse 27. Same book, 1 Corinthians 12. Let's just jump down to verse 27. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So we are of the body of Christ, and we are members in that body, in his body, particularly his body. The body of HaMashiach is a New Testament concept, referring to the community or the church, with HaMashiach as the head. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. The book of Colossians, chapter 1 and verse 18. And when you have it, if you acknowledge with amen.
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 All right, thank you. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. He's got to be first in everything. That's what preeminence means. Got to be first. I got to be the first out of the grave. I got to be first. I got to be the first in everything. We become a congregation of faithful witnesses. The book of John, chapter 15, verse 16. Let's go there. The book of John, chapter 15. We're going to get verse 16. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask, shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give you. And let's see. Let's go to the book of Acts chapter 4. The book of Acts chapter 4. And we're going to get verse 4. And when you have it, if you say
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So this congregation was growing. It's dropped down to verse 32 in the same chapter. And this is just an overview. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they all had all things common. So this is the congregation. The Most High adds to it. We are baptized into it by one Spirit, and that Spirit is the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of the Most High. The word translated community or church is ekklesia, E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, ekklesia, which is derived from two Greek words, ek, E-K, meaning out, and kalo, K-E-L-E-O, meaning to call. So it's really to call out. Therefore, it originally designated the assembly of citizens called out from their houses to the gathering place for the purpose of discussion of public business. The term then passed over into the New Testament documents and designated the assembling of those gathered for public worship. When Paul writes, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. The book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and we're going to be getting verses 24 and 25. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right. Thank you, my sisters. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. So we want to gather ourselves together. We want to be looking for Messiah's return. We're to do this as the called out ones. Okay? When he's talking about this, when Paul is talking about this, he's referring to the local and the global community. Because, you know, on a local level, we should be gathering ourselves. But then as a global community as well. The community idea goes beyond the local concept. It can be also called universal, the whole body of the redeemed. Messiah's body is not supposed to be fragmented. It's not supposed to be, we're supposed to be on one accord. And this is, you know, as I was stating earlier, this is a problem. Where Messiah said, he had illustrated his ideal in Matthew chapter 16. Let's go there. The book of Matthew chapter 16. And let's get verse 18. And he's talking to Simon Peter. And, you know, we got some certain churches that claim that, you know, this was the start of the Catholic Church, but I can prove otherwise. Neither, but that's not this lesson. Messiah said, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Messiah is going to build his church. He is the head of it. And it's a single unity. So the community, Messiah lets us know that, hey, number one, this is my church. Number two, you got all have to have the same spirit. You have to come into it by the same spirit. Let us go to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. And I'll set this up. The book of Revelation, chapter 14. And I'll tell you when we'll read it here in just a second. The mission of the community or the church, an extension of Christ's work. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be continuing and extending his work that he started, the ministry that he had on the earth. So his work and the ministry to the world is then to work and to worship. That's our job, to work and to worship. The work of the community involves evangelism, which is outreach. We should be going out and recruiting, converting people, telling them about the good news of the kingdom, telling them how to, you know, that they should be stop sinning, that they should keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, that they should fear him. That they shouldn't be, you know, breaking his commandments. Shouldn't think that they have a license to sin and just say, I'm sorry. We should be calling them into the kingdom. That's part of the education and the care of the membership. Because, you know, there's one thing reaching out to people that are not part of the body. And then when people join the body, then they need caring for also. And that, how do we walk in his ways? How do we live a holy life? How do we live sanctified? How do we stop sinning? How do we walk in his ways, more or less, addressing social problems, The social problems, as I see them over all these days, is a sin problem. And when we line up with the Word of the Most High, then the social problems go away, because the social problems deal with the world, deal with everyday society, deal with the way people treat one another. If we have a social system that says it's okay to fornicate, and then as a result of fornication, we got all these illegitimate children, and then we got more, you know, children in foster homes or up for adoption or involved in crime, so forth and so on. These social issues all stem from we have gotten away from the Word of the Most High. Mm-hmm. And we are doing what the world says to do. So, but we are to deal with those things. But it's really to call them back to the Word of the Most High, to live His ways, and to help the aged, the widows, the orphans, the sick, and others who are in need. This is the job of the church, of the community, especially those that are among us. How can we say that we're a community if we don't take care of each other?
Mm.
Much less go out and, you know, try to help, you know, people who have fallen on hard times, not associated with you. They may not even worship the Most High at all. But we should be helping each other first and then going out to the world. Suffice it to say that the community's mission is to the lost souls is of utmost importance, but does not cancel out its other obligations. The other mission of the community is to fear Yah. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 7. And when we have it, if we'll say amen.
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 All right, to fear Yah, because this is the gospel that is supposed to go out in the last day. Saying with a loud voice. Now, this is the angel. Well, we're going to actually start in verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear Elohim, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. And this is what the angel, the messenger in the last days is going to proclaim, and we are in those last days. It tells me this is the gospel that we ought to also be proclaiming, especially if we believe we're in the last days. So to fear Elohim and to worship him, because men are fearing everything but him, fearing government, filling police, you know, units, fearing their brothers, afraid to walk down the street, at least they get shot or robbed. Don't walk down an alley. Have a fear for our young people, our young women, our young men. But we're not fearing the Most High. And because we don't fear him, a lot of these things are upon us. And the second thing is to worship Yah in spirit and in truth. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4, and we're going to be getting verse 24. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Amen. Elohim is a spirit. He is that spirit. He is the one spirit, the only spirit that we must be baptized in. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're commanded to fear him. We're commanded to worship him in spirit and in truth. We're commanded that we take care of the fatherless, the widow, the homeless, that we reach out to ranked sinners, let them know that they're sinners. But I'm finding that we need to reach out to even the body, those who say they're in the body, who think that they can sin and it's okay.
Damn.
that they're not up under the law because they need to be retaught again. To provide for the organization and equipment of the members of the body of Mashiach, Yah gave the community apostles and prophets and evangelists, teachers and pastors. This is synonymous for elders and bishops and deacons. Okay, so let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll get verse 11. And when you have it, if you say amen.
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 All right, thank you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We should have all of these positions. Everybody can't be a teacher. You can, you know, you can be multiples of these, but you can't be all of these. At some point, you can do all of these, but if you're going to perfect your craft, then, you know, you're going to have to work as the Most High sends the members and grows that particular part of the body, then you should have apostles. You should have prophets. You should have evangelists. You should have pastors or shepherds. You should have teachers. Because the goal for them is the perfecting of the saints. Because we need to know how to walk in this walk. And so when, you know, when we got teachers teaching part of the scriptures and not the whole scriptures, all the precepts, because, well, we're not in the Old Testament. We don't believe in the Old Testament. Then they have just messed up. When we got teachers that don't believe in the New Testament, don't believe in Messiah, then they have just messed up. We need the full gospel. We need the old and the new. So that we can become perfected. If you believe that you don't have to keep the law, how are you going to ever come to perfection? Since you're always breaking it. That doesn't work. And when you think that you can, you know, by keeping the Ten Commandments and the other ordinances, and you think you can keep those perfectly, and you don't need Messiah, then you have just messed up, because now you're going to die in your sin. Because you can't go anywhere. The scriptures teach it. And, you know, I'm so glad the Most High showed me. You can't go anywhere in this world today and make a sacrifice for sin. So you can't just say, I'm sorry. Because it says where remission is, there necessitates that there's blood. Since you can't make a sacrifice and you can't use your own blood, then you can't atone for your own sin. So you sin, you say, I'm sorry, I repent, but it was never paid for. And you didn't allow Messiah's blood to pay for it. You can't go sacrifice a sheep or a cow and pay for your sin, because it requires the temple. And we are that temple today. And so he doesn't allow it, though, because you can't burn it on yourself. So it's a problem there. You need the whole entire gospel. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. The book of Philippians chapter 1. And let's get verse 1. And when you have it, just say amen.
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 Thank you. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Yeshua HaMashiach, to all the saints in Yeshua HaMashiach, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. See, this office of bishop and deacon in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, for the church, because the Most High was doing away with the temple, the sanctuary. He was doing away with it. And he introduced these two offices. Really, a deacon, you can equate to the Levitical tribe, the tribes of all the Levites. And then the bishops, you can equate with the Aaronic priesthood. It's a matter of authority. It's really all it comes down to. But this is the Melchizedek order now. In the church. In the community. And so there's order. And there is an order to how the Most High wants things done. Each one of these positions, he tells you what the requirements are. And so when he tells you that a deacon or a bishop must be the husband of one wife, a pastor would be on the lines of a bishop, but he's only over one church. A bishop would be over many churches. But in order to become the bishop, the pastor, the elder, has to qualify according to the scriptures. So there's no way that there should be a pastor out there with more than one wife. It disqualifies them for, you know, they want to have multiple churches. Now you're no longer just a pastor over one church. Your title should change, but what the brothers are doing are they're not taking a change of title. They are trying to stay with one title, and most of them won't even claim a title. Out of the New Testament. They won't take one of those titles because then they know that they have to comply with the title. So most of them will just say, I'm just a teacher. If you are there for the perfecting of the saints, then the same qualifications for the deacon or the bishop apply to you. Because those are offices given by the Most High. And typically, those individuals come from those ranks, the elders and what have you. So brothers are mixing apples and oranges, and then they're trying to write their own system when the Most High has a system already here in the book. So bishops and deacons are part of the standard, part of the structure, the organized structure of the Most High that he put in place in Messiah's body. Then he said he also gave what some pastors. Well, a bishop can be a pastor, but typically a deacon is not a pastor. A deacon graduates to pastor. Deacon would be like, he's one of those helpers in the church, which was like the Levites. They took the tabernacle, they broke it down, except for the Holy of Holies. Aaron and his sons had to break down the Holy of Holies and cover it. Then the family that was assigned to it would carry it. The other tribes would break down the rest of the tabernacle, and then they would carry it in wagons or what have you. But that was their job. They weren't necessarily going between or being go-betweens for the Most High. That is the deacons. Now, the deacon can be elevated to the office of pastor or elevated or called by the Most High into that position or even to be over multiple churches, multiple sanctuaries. But they all come from the same place. And so if a deacon, which is just, like I said, they're the helpers, if they can only be the husband of one wife, then surely the pastor has to be the husband of one wife. Surely the bishop has to be the husband of one wife. Okay, so we should never hear of a pastor that has multiple wives. That would be a problem, according to the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 3. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll read it verse 8. When you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Thank you both. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Let's go up here. We're just going to do both of these at one time. Let's start in verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This is a shame. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of multiple wives, vigilant, sober,
one wife.
Of good behavior.
One wife.
One wife, right? I'm glad you stopped me because I did that on purpose. One wife.
One wife.
Not two wives. Not three wives. Not one wife and two concubines. Because the bishop has to be dedicated to the Most High. The Most High says, now I know you ain't gay, and I told you to be fruitful and multiply. So you can have your wife. But you are not to be multiplying wives to yourself. The husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker. That means he don't fight, he don't beat his wife, for sure. Not greedy of filthy lucre, not after, you know, money for just money's sake. Illegal money. Don't care how the person got it. The Most High says, you know, that the money from a prostitute is not supposed to enter into the congregation of the Most High. But I know many churches will take that money in a heartbeat. Don't care. It's in the offering envelope. They don't care. The Most High says it's not supposed to be so. That would be filthy lucre. Somebody robbed somebody. Somebody's into gangbanging. Somebody's into the mafia, you know, and their money comes through crime. The Most High didn't want it. Filthy lucre. But patient, not a brawler, a fighter, not covetous, not wanting what everybody else has, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Means the children got to be in line too. And a lot of times today, that's a hard thing to come by as well. Mm-hmm. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of Elohim? And this is a true saying. Not a novice. That means he's got to be well studied in the word. Least being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are outside the congregation. He's got to have a good standing in the community, the local community, his own and the world. He can't be in the world acting one way and then in his community he's all pious and holy. He gets from around the church, he's out at the casino. He's in the red light district. He's doing everything that he ought not do. He's showing one. He's showing a different what? Being double-minded. Got to have a good report all the way around. Lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, nor greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of how many wives?
One wife.
Ruling their children in their own house well. See, these offices, typically a man will go from deacon into the pastorate or a bishopric. That's the order. If he's already got multiple wives, then he's disqualified for that, for what? Being a deacon. That would make him disqualified for being a pastor, which would make him disqualified for being a bishop. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their home, their houses well, where they have used the office of a deacon well, purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Yeshua HaMashiach. All right. Let us go to, let us continue. So we see that the bishop and the deacons, there's requirements for the job. And if they're in the community, they can't be doing anything other than what's in the scripture. So when I find brothers that say, oh, I'm so-and-so and I'm this, and they got multiple wives, I'm like, brother, you can't be doing that. I don't care what you call yourself. The role that you are playing, you cannot do what you're doing. And, of course, they don't want to hear it. And a lot of brothers don't want to hear it. But what they're going to find themselves is doing this work and ending up in the lake for some pleasure, for some status. See, I got multiple wives. If you want multiple wives, then you can't be doing certain work of the Most High. So you're going to have to sit down. I'm not going to be teaching. I'm not going to be pastoring. I'm not going to be evangelizing. I'm not going to be an apostle. I'm not going to be a pastor. Because you're disqualified if you do that. And I know some pastors that have communities now that got multiple wives. I'm like, why do you have the title of pastor? I said, I know why you got the title, but why do you have the title of pastor when you know what the word says? I know you know what it says. But people are doing what they want to do. The work of these officers must continue until we attain to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of Yah, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Back to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to get verse 13.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Till we come into the unity of the faith. This is how long we got to be doing this. We're segmented. We are not unified. We are in different denominations. Till we come, because see, this is what people do. They'll take a doctrine, or they will create a doctrine, because they don't particularly agree with a certain understanding. And everybody that agrees with them, they become part of that denomination. And that's really all the difference is in a denomination, is they have a difference in doctrine, understanding of a particular doctrine. But I say, make it line up with the word of the Most High. And if your doctrine contradicts his word anywhere, then you need to line up with the word of the Most High.
Amen.
Don't justify your doctrine because it feels right if it contradicts the word of the Most High. Till we come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Elohim, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We're supposed to be coming Christ-like, messianic-like. We're supposed to be walking like he did. That means that we're especially supposed to be trying not to sin. We're supposed to stop sinning. And that can be a hard thing, especially if you're not committed. If you're not committed to walking upright, if you're not committed that when you know to do better, you do better. If you're not committed, if you think that, you know, if you have convinced yourself, because this is what I find, people have convinced themselves that, hey, I'm not up under the law. Well, then what standard are you living by? Love my brother. What standard is that? The Most High tells you how to love your brother. Well, I don't have to, you know, they mix up the ordinances, like the ordinances to sacrifice animals. They mix those things up with the statutes, laws, and commandments and his judgments. And because it says they are not up under the law if they walk in the Spirit. But if you walk in the Spirit, do you think that the Spirit of the Most High is going to transgress his own law?
No.
It ain't going to happen.
No, it ain't going to happen.
So, you know, you can see the contradiction in them. And so they're doing what makes them feel good, what makes them feel comfortable, what justifies, you know, what they want to do. But we don't want to be there. We don't want to go down that road. Okay? If the Most High, if you are filled with the Spirit of the Most High, he's not going to allow you to transgress his laws. And he will bring you. He won't just crash course you either. He will bring you into that knowledge.
Amen.
And allow you to, you know, that's why he says that which you do ignorantly, he can forgive. But he's going to bring you into the knowledge. Then once you know, you're what? Accountable.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know, you're accountable. All right. So we're supposed to come to the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, of Mashiach. We're supposed to be coming Christ-like. He was sinless. We're supposed to be coming to that. Let's start looking at some questions. So that was the overview about what this particular lesson is about. Upon whom is the community built? Upon whom is the church built? Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and let's get verse 18. When you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, my community. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Messiah says, I will build my church, my community. Now, this rock, if you go, and you can do this online sometimes, if you go to a Hebrew or English to Hebrew, or English to Aramaic translator, and you put in Ab, A-B for father, and Ben for son, it becomes another word. Anybody know what that word is? If you combine the word Ab and Ben, it becomes another word. Father and son. I'll just
our
tell
father.
You what word it becomes. Huh?
Our father.
Uh-uh. You might think that, but guess what it becomes?
Abba,
what?
Abba.
Abba, Ab, A-B. But you're only going to use the A-B. And then the B from Ben, E-N, Aben.
Aben.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It becomes rock.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
That's what the word becomes. If you combine the words father and son,
mm-hmm.
it becomes rock. So he says, upon this rock, upon this principle, father and son, shall I build my community, my church. Messiah was making a play on words. Upon this rock, upon this foundation, father and son. That's amazing. You put those two together and it becomes rock. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20.
Verse 20, you said?
Verse 20, yes, ma'am.
Okay. Amen.
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 All right, amen. Make sure we're all on the same page. And are built upon the foundation. I told you this, that rock is the foundation. Are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Yeshua HaMashiach himself being the chief cornerstone. Now he's talking about his body. The cornerstone. What is that used for? Why is this important in this verse?
Is it like it holds the church up?
Like a rock?
Kind of, but not by itself. The cornerstone is the first stone that you lay. If it's crooked,
okay.
the rest of the building will be crooked.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again. The chief cornerstone is the first stone that is laid in the foundation. If it's crooked, the entire foundation will be crooked. So if he's the first, if he's the chief cornerstone, and he's perfect, the foundation has to be what?
Perfect.
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 If he's not crooked, if he's not sinful, then the whole building has to be fit, because if the chief cornerstone is perfect, then the whole building will be put together correctly. It will fit together correctly. But if the chief cornerstone is crooked, if it weren't, you know, like it wasn't a perfect square or a perfect triangle, however they're going to shape it. If it was, let's say it was a boulder with all kind of different shapes on the sides of it, you would have a hard time lining up anything to it. So this is why this is important. The chief cornerstone is the first stone that's laid in the foundation, and if it is crooked, the entire foundation, the entire house will be crooked. That's in any organization as well. So if the pastor starts a church and he's crooked, how do you think the rest of the house is going to be?
Crooked too.
It's going to be crooked too. It goes, this applies to everything. Why is important? How else must we refer to the church or the community? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And when you have it, if you say amen, we're going to get verse 27.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now are you the body of Christ? That's how his church should be referred to. The community is the body. We're all individual members of that body. We are members of the body of Christ in particular. Each and every one of us. And we're supposed to fit into the body. Now, ain't nothing supposed to be crooked in the body. Because it's supposed to line up with the chief cornerstone. So if you are part of the foundation and you are crooked and the chief cornerstone is in there and it's laid out perfectly and then you come and get laid in there and you're crooked, everything after you is going to be what?
Crooked.
It's going to be crooked. So when he's given the analogy of a building, then it's also giving us understanding of the moral characters of people as well. Because he talks about him being the chief cornerstone and being morally correct, morally perfect, without sin. He's that first block. He had to be perfect. Everything lining up after that has to become perfect. So if you were crooked, then we need to take some of that crookedness out of you to straighten you up. So that the building can continue to go together perfectly. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. How do we become members of the church or the community? Mark chapter 16, and let's get verse 16. And when you have it, say amen. Bless you.
Amen.
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 Mark 16. All right. Amen. Thank you. He that believeth, got to first believe. And we act on what we believe. And we act or we don't act on what we don't believe. Because sometimes, you know, Messiah always says because of their what? Unbelief.
Unbelief.
Right. If you really believed, what you act upon what you truly believe in. If you don't really believe you're supposed to fear the Most High, you're not going to fear him. I don't care how much you read it. I don't care how much you say it. If you don't really believe it. So what you actually believe manifests itself, in other words. He that believeth. And is baptized. Now, why are they going to get baptized? Because the word says, to be saved, Messiah said, you must be born of the water and of the what? Spirit.
Excuse me, Brother Miles. You are 16. Excuse me, Brother Miles. You are 16 what? 16 what?
Mark 16 and 16.
Okay.
All right. We there?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Okay. My voice ain't that high. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. The whole premise behind this is if you act upon what you believe, then you're going to do what the word says to do. Messiah says you must be born again of the water. He says that's through baptism and of the Spirit. And it calls it being baptized in the Spirit. Which Spirit? The Spirit of the Most High. Got to be baptized into both. That's Messiah gave the requirements. That's how you enter in. And you got to have both. Let's go to John chapter 3. So he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not, if they don't believe, they're not going, number one, they're not going to even get baptized. Why? Because I don't have to do it. I don't believe that. John chapter 3 and 3. John 3, 3.
Amen.
When you have it, you say amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, amen. Yeshua answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of Elohim. You got to have this thing before you go in the ground. The complete born again process of the water and of the spirit. Let's keep reading. Verse 4. Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now we see where Nicodemus' head is at. Only type of birth I know, the only type of born I know is coming through the womb. Messiah says, no, there is another type of birth that I'm talking about here. Verse 5. And Yeshua answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of what?
Water and spirit.
And?
Oh, that's it. And a spirit.
And of the spirit. Not either or, but both. That word and there is not an or. That's a conjunction, meaning you got to do both. You must be born of the water and of the spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom. So unless the person does both of these, then they're not going to enter in. Now I guarantee you, if you get born of the spirit, the spirit's going to turn around and tell you, okay, now you got to go get in that water. But what is happening in most churches today, in most camps, in most communities, people are being told about the first part and then being told that they automatically got the second part. But that's not true. And it is a lie straight from the pits of hell. This one thing is keeping, out of all the people not born again, this is probably 100% of the reason right here. If not 100%, 99%. Being born of the Spirit. And in those churches that recognize that you got to be born of the Spirit, they'll say, oh, well, it's automatic. It's a gift. It's automatic. It's not automatic. It may be automatic to some people, and it may happen automatically for some people. But that's a very few. I'm talking about, let's say 10, out of 10 people, probably 0. Out of 100 people, 1. That get baptized in the water and in the spirit at the same time. Most of the time, people get baptized or born of the water. And in today's church, they're not even told that they really have to seek after the Spirit. So they just say it's automatic. And then we got those churches that say, hey, the Spirit is the Word. So all you got to do is read your Bible. And you're born of the Spirit. I'm like, why would you tell somebody that? Because what's hanging on? If you don't do both of these, can you enter into the kingdom?
No.
No.
Can't do it. That's not Brother Miles' philosophy. That's straight out of the mouth of Messiah. So we have to understand that we have to have both. Born of the water and of the spirit. They both serve their purpose. And the scriptures tell us, you know, what purpose each serves. And we've already gone through that when we went through water baptism and then when we went through the study of the Spirit. We went through what each one of those serves. That water represents the grave. So when you are baptized into Christ, you die with him. Don't bury things that are alive. That means the old you should have what?
Died.
Before you went in that water. I'm giving up those old things. I'm giving up these old ways. I'm not going to sin like I used to sin. That old person is dead. Now bury me. And when you come up out of that water, both sides, then you are a new creature, a new creation. Spiritually, he now says you have been died and you're resurrected. Now you need a new spirit, his spirit. That's why it says you must be born of the Spirit. That's the actual infilling of the Holy Spirit. So it's not an automatic thing. It can happen automatically. And you can actually be born of the Spirit first. Still got to go in the water. Either or. So that's what was taught during, you know, the water baptism and the lesson on the Spirit. But you got to have both. So if you go down in the water, and that's why I said we need the evidence. This is something that you don't want to say, well, I believe I'm saved. Because you can know that you're saved. You should have the same experience that's in this book. Then you know. If the same thing happened to you, then you ain't got to guess about it.
Man.
You ain't got to believe it. You'll know it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the word was written for our sake. Let's go to the book of Acts. No. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We've already been there. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. The book of Acts chapter 2. And let's get verse 4. When you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with what? Who? Yeah.
The Holy Ghost.
And began to speak with other tongues as who gave them utterance?
The Spirit.
The Spirit. What Spirit? Does it say there?
No, it don't say it says, but in capital letters, it says, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Gave them utterance.
Mm-hmm.
Not utters, because utters go on count.
Utterance. My bad.
All right.
I'm half reading.
Amen. I'm just laughing because I'm like, somebody going to hear that and say, I'm going to get some udders. Oh, man. Let me stop. All right. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay. So this was them being born again by the Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. Now it's important to know who the Holy Ghost is. That's why we did that whole series on the Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Did a whole lesson on it with about 100 and some odd scriptures. Because you got to know what spirit you were filled with. Because it said that they were what? Filled, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That means that your vessel, your body, you are a spirit yourself. Infused, inhabiting that body. When you look in the mirror, sometimes try this. Go look in the mirror and look into your own eyes and see who's looking at you. Is it your eyes looking at you? Or is it something using your eyes? Someone using your eyes. If they take your eye out of your body and put it in another body, can that new body use your eye?
Yeah,
it can.
I guess it can.
Yeah.
So that eye ain't got nothing to do with who's using it. It's just an instrument, like a camera or a phone. It just happens to be part of your body right now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But if you take it out of your body and put it in another body, guess what? It will see just as good for them. It won't see for you anymore. It'll see for them. That tells you that that eye is not who? You. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Hey, Bill.
So that your body is just an instrument, a tool that your spirit uses. Your spirit depart the body don't work no more. It still works, but ain't nothing using it. So they can harvest your organs. They can take your liver, your kidneys, and put them in what? Another body. Just like you take your tire off of your car and put it on another car. It'll still work, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
If you take your battery out of your car, will it still work and put it in another car?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the same concept. This is just a vehicle that the Most High has made for your spiritual body to use.
Ooh.
Man.
And when your spirit departs, this body would still work if another spirit got in it. You might say, hey, there's something wrong here. I see why they left. They blew out the heart. The filtration system, they drank too much. Now the filtration system don't work. So something broke that caused the body to what? Stop functioning. And the spirit can't stay there. He said, hey, this body's broken. So we got to understand that that's all our body is. But the Most High said, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. Since that, let's continue. I'll just let the lesson teach itself. Let's go to, let's drop down to verses 37 and 38. So the apostles were all filled with the what? Holy Ghost. And began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, because it says Holy Ghost and Spirit, we might get the idea that these are two separate entities. But it's the same entity. We'll prove that out over time. Verse 37 and 38. And now when they heard this, that they are all the devout Jews. Now, there's something I want to bring up on this in this lesson right here, this part. When the Most High, when he got witnesses to ask to what was going on, he didn't just go get just anybody. What does the word devout mean?
Honorable.
Special. I don't want to say special.
Can we look it up in the dictionary?
Yeah, I didn't want to do it. I was trying to use my brain.
I don't mind you using your brain, but I want to make sure we got it right, too.
I know. You can't depend on me, huh?
No, that's not what I said.
No, I'm saying that.
Oh, but I'm not going to say that. I'm going to give you more respect than that.
Bless your heart. I love you.
Amen.
Amen.
So when you if you when you get that definition, let me know. Devout. Because okay. Again, just like we were in the when we were in the covenant, we were seeing how the Most High, how He operates.
Right.
We want to see. I'm going to show you something here. And when you have the definition, you just go ahead and just start reading it.
Well, keep on talking.
Huh?
I didn't say nothing. Yeah, I got to go get my other dictionary. I don't see it in this one.
You don't see it in that dictionary?
No.
What kind of dictionary is that?
Ray and them gave me this dictionary.
Oh, I ain't going to say that.
I ain't either. I ain't either. Okay. Come on. Let me go get my other dictionary, bro. I'll be right back.
All right. Okay, as we wait for the sister to come back.
Brother Mike, what word she was looking up? Devout?
Devout, right.
What word was, spell it.
D-E-V-O-U-T.
Okay.
Did you find a definition?
Yeah. It's a
all I
a
follow up with is doubtless and devoutlessness. It has nothing to go along with that, though.
Okay.
Let me try something else.
What about you, Sister Denise? Did you find a definition?
I think I did. It's saying yielding a solemn and reverse attitude. attention to Yah in religion, exercise, particular in prayer.
Okay. That's one of the definitions that I found. Let me give you another one, a more simplistic one. Having or showing deep religious feeling or commitment. It means totally committed to a cause or a belief.
Yeah.
That's probably the definition that we want to use. Being totally committed to a cause or a belief. That's devout. Because you can be devout about things other than religious things. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Totally committed, okay? Now let's go to Acts chapter 2 and verse 5.
Oh, regular dictionary.
And when you have it, if you say amen.
Amen.
Now, this is the day of Pentecost. All the Jews from all around are supposed to come to what? Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is Pentecost. And it says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews. What kind of men?
Devout men.
Men.
Totally committed. Out of every nation under heaven. These weren't people who halfway believed. These people were totally committed. This is who the Most High got to be his witnesses. They were totally committed to the way, keeping Torah, keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. This is who he got to be his witnesses. Let's continue to read. Verse 5 again. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, men totally committed out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised or heard abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, confused, because that every man heard them speak in his what?
His own language.
Yeah, they didn't all hear the same language. If you were from Russia, you heard Russian. If you were from England, you heard English. If you were from Germany, you heard German. If you were from Congo, you heard the Congo language. If you were from Ethiopia, you heard Ethiopian. Every man heard in his own language. So that also tells you that all these people didn't necessarily speak what? Hebrew.
Right.
As their home, but they're all what? Jews.
About man.
They're all Jews. They're all Hebrew Israelites. But they speak what? Different languages. That means that they had spread all over the place. They were being born and raised someplace other than what?
Jerusalem.
Amen. Okay, so this is what's going on. Now let's keep going. Verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? So what would they expect them to be? What would they expect them to be speaking?
Galileans.
Yeah.
Right, Galileans. But they heard them speak their own language. Now, when we say they heard them speak their own language, we might still say, well, they were all could be from where? Israel, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We could say that. Let's keep reading. And how hear we every man in our what? Verse 8.
Our own tongue.
Wherein
we
were what?
Born. Where we were born.
So, these people weren't born in Israel. Let's find out. Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia. Are these Israelites? By birth?
Yeah.
They are by birth, but were they born in Israel?
No.
No.
And in Judea, and in Cappadocia, and in Pontus, and in Asia, and in Phrygia, and in Pamphylia, and in Egypt, and in parts of Libya, and about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and who?
Arabians.
But these are all Jews, okay? We do hear them speak in our tongues, what?
The wonderful words of God.
Yeah.
Amen. So this is what makes this so miraculous. These are all Jews. And not only are they Jews, they are what type of Jews? What type of men?
Devout men.
Devout.
Devout. They're totally committed to keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, his judgments. He didn't just go get just anybody. And they were all amazed and in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? What does this mean? How is it that we hear these Galileans in our own tongue? Wherein we were born. So you think they got their attention?
I think they did.
Yeah, they got their attention.
I'm quite sure they did.
What the heck is going on here? Now look what somebody said though. Others mocking said these men are full of what?
New wine.
This new wine making them speak another language. That's what they were saying. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, all you that are living here, visiting here, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose. Somebody just said they were what, had some new wine?
Uh-huh.
These ain't drunk like you think. Seeing is but the third hour of the day. The first hour is 6 o'clock a.m., typically when the sun comes up. But that would be the first hour. So what hour was this then if it's the third hour?
It'd be like 8 o'clock or something.
Nine? 6 plus 3 is 9.
Right.
Third hour of the day. This is too early in the morning to be drunk is what he's saying. So whether you believe that's 8 o'clock or if you believe it's 9, it's still what? Early in the morning.
Right.
Is what he's saying. Seeing it is about the third hour. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So we got devout men hearing these apostles speak to them in their own language. But they're saying, hey, these apostles are Galilean. Well, how come we're hearing them in our own language? Wherein we were born, not in Hebrew. Because they tell them that they tell us that they were born in other land, in other lands. Okay. They did this by the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 again. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, not as they wanted to speak on their own. The Holy Spirit had to tell them what to say. As he gave them utterance, they began to speak. And what they were talking about were the what? Wonderful works of Elohim, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We were down at verse 37 and 38. Now when they heard this, they were all pricked. Everybody's heard of a pin prick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Means to be stuck with a pin. Like if you prick your finger, you're trying to get a thorn out or something, you're picking at the skin with a needle.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like when you have a splinter in your finger.
Right. That's the prick, but this prick doesn't mean that. This prick is referring to one of those Roman spears. You ever watch those movies and you see the Roman soldiers come up and they got the shield and then they got this long spear out. They say, you know, they tell them the arm and this line of spears just go down and there's this long spears
right.
that they have.
Right.
That was called a prick. And what it was used for was to bust somebody's heart. So they would stab you in the chest with it, and the force behind it would bust your heart. That's how it was used. So when they were pricked in their hearts, what did it really say? They got a little feeling in their heart?
Yeah,
Their heart got bust.
Hmm.
They were overwhelmed. That's what that verse is saying. They were, and when they heard this, they were overwhelmed in their hearts.
Okay.
And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, if something only affects you a little bit, are you typically going to ask what you got to do about it?
No. No.
If it ain't that big a deal?
No.
No.
If you could, you know, do with it or without it. Don't mean that you're not going to ask anything about it. But they were overwhelmed. And they asked, what shall we do? Because what he just did was tell them that you killed the Messiah. And they didn't realize they had killed the Messiah. And when they had realized that they had killed Messiah, then now they are what? Pricked in their hearts. They are overwhelmed. Their hearts bust open. What shall we do, seeing we just killed Messiah? Then Peter said unto them, do what? In verse 38?
They say, repent and be baptized.
Every one of you, you want to get over that feeling? You want to do what Messiah said to do? Get baptized in his name for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you can't earn the Holy Ghost. You can't buy it. Can't buy him. I got to stop saying it. Can't buy him. The Most High has to give you himself freely.
Amen.
That means he has to choose you. But he says you first have to ask. Because he wants those that want him. He wants those that love him.
Amen.
If you love him and he tells you he will give you his spirit, don't you think we would ask for it? Most I want your spirit. You said you would give it to me. Give yourself to me. I can't get away from this. It. Hold on a second. Give me 1 second here, and we're at time, but we'll pick this up next Tuesday. Let's go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, and when you have it, if you'll say amen.
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 Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Luke chapter 11, because I have to say amen to myself. Because, you know, I've been in the wrong place at times. Luke 11 and verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give who?
The Holy Spirit to them that ask him.
To them that ask him. You have to ask. It's not automatic. It can happen that way, but typically you got to request. Father, you said if I do what you say do, you would give me yourself as, what, the gift. And I will be born of the Spirit. This is where everything starts. Because then you can say, I know that I know that I know that I know. You don't have to say, I believe, I think, I might be. I don't know. We want to have the same experience that's in this book, but we got to go by the book.
Man.
Got to go by the book. So, the Most High will give you his spirit when he finds out that you want him. Just like he don't love everybody. He loves them that what? Obey him. He says, then you, if you obey me, then you love me. If you love me, you'll ask me for my spirit. With that, we'll close for this lesson. We'll pick it back up. We're on question number 4 in this lesson, which is, question number 4. Well, no, let's go get one more. Because we're talking about by one spirit are you baptized into Messiah. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I don't want to leave this lesson with this verse not in here. 2 Corinthians. Now, who do you have to ask for the Holy Spirit?
The Father.
Okay. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3. And we're going to get verse 17. me make sure we don't need any of these others. Now, it's by one spirit, right? We read that before, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
2 Corinthians 3 and 17. Let me have one of you to read that.
Now, Yah is... Go ahead. Now, Yah is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Oh, wait a minute. Why you change up there?
Okay, I'll go back. Now, Yah is that spirit, and where the spirit of Yah is, there is liberty.
What spirit are you supposed to be being baptized into?
Yah's spirit.
Yah is that spirit. By one spirit are we baptized into one body. Yah is that spirit. Did Brother Miles say that?
No.
Nope.
No, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In verse 17.
Right. So that's Gabriel.
No.
I'm just playing with you. Because I've been hearing this so much. Gabriel is that spirit. Gabriel is the Holy Ghost. I'm like, good grief. What scripture do y'all read? Tell me the name of that Bible, because I don't know how we can be reading the same Bible and coming up to a different answer. But the truth of the matter is, people get a hold of, they take a piece of scripture and make a doctrine out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And
then they repeat stuff that they hear other people say.
Yeah, they be parroting. Mainly their pastors.
Yeah. Yep.
Parroting them. They said it, so I'm going to say it. But is it true just because they said it? I tell you all the time, you need to check out what I tell you.
Nah.
But I'm going to take you straight from the word.
Nah.
That way you can't say Brother Miles said it.
Amen.
We read it.
That's why you make sure we're on the same page where you are. That's what we have to say.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Because you know, some people, they're at church and the scripture's being read, but they ain't reading it.
Right.
And then they halfway remember what was read.
Right.
So when you read it for yourself, you remember.
Yeah, you do.
So, yeah, I don't, you know, when it's in a teaching environment like this, if you got a question, I just want you to ask the question while we're there, because this is what this is designed for. We're going, you know, I'm asking questions and we're reading verses and I'm trying to lead you, you know, down a certain path to a certain understanding with the scriptures. But line upon line and precept upon precept. And where the scripture speaks, I don't have to say nothing.
Ooh.
I'm just really just what? Reading the scripture to you. It's up to you to accept what it's saying. Because I can guarantee you, I could take one of those people that believe that Gabriel is the Holy Spirit. They won't see this verse no matter how they read it. Their mind won't let them see it. They'll agree and then come right back to that same doctrine. But it contradicts the scripture. So just know that Yah is that spirit. He's the one spirit that you are being baptized into Messiah's body, which he is Messiah in the flesh. But You got to let the scriptures tell you that. So we'll stop there for today. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you, Father, in the spirit of humility. Father, your word teaches us concerning your kingdom and the structure of your kingdom and the order that you have put in place, even how we enter into your kingdom, how we become a part of Mashiach's body. So he that is baptized and believes, truly believes, that by one spirit are we all baptized into this one body. Father, you have just shown us that you are that spirit. The Holy Ghost, you are the Holy Spirit, you are that Spirit. You are the Spirit, the first Spirit. And Father, we just accept your word. And we won't depart from it. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, so we will pick it up here. And the question we will start with is, does the Bible recognize the local church or the local community? And we'll start reading the verses concerning that. Because, you know, some people look at the church that they came out of and says, there's got to be something better. There's got to be something different. But, you know, I'll just say it this way. Most churches out there today, I'm not saying all, this is not an absolute, but most churches and camps are social clubs. It's where people come together, they meet, dress up, try to impress each other, and then they get some type of inspirational message, but not necessarily learning how to walk upright before the Most High. Not necessarily learning the correct way to get into his kingdom. Not even learning who the Most High really is. More or less just going through the motions, playing church. I refuse to play church. I did it for too many years.
Amen, bro.
Yeah, don't want to play church no more. This is real. Got to have the truth. Got to, you know, worship him in spirit and in truth. If I don't line up with the truth, when I hear the truth, then I need to, what, adjust myself and line up with it.
Amen.
If it's contrary to what I think or believe, I need to change what I think or believe and line up with the truth.
Amen.
There ain't no two ways about it. So if you see me, hear me, say something that you know for a fact is not truth, I want you to bring it to my attention. Because I will surely go back and relook at it. I'm not too proud.
And do likewise for me, brother.
Amen. Amen. And you know I will.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You know I will.
That's the only way
you're
going
to
learn.
For me.
Get corrected.
That's the only way you're going to
learn.
Amen.
So sometimes we just want to stay where we're at because it's comfortable.
No, I won't say
that. It's what I believe and I'm comfortable with it because we have a tendency to believe what's comfortable for us. That's just what we, you know, that's human nature. To believe what's comfortable for us. So if the Most High says kill your child, that ain't comfortable.
It ain't.
It ain't comfortable. I guarantee you, ain't nobody trying to hear that. I won't say nobody. Very few people are trying to hear it. Matter of fact, most people will come against it.
Man, if they will.
But I use it because it's not comfortable. And you got to be able to do what the Most High says, whether you're comfortable with it or not.
Amen.
And so, you know, it just sort of shows me where people are at. When they say, you know, I love the Most High, I love this, I'm, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I say, yeah, but you ain't doing what he said to do.
Mm.
And so it is a, I hate to say it, but it's a game. You know, but it's a serious game because whether you end up in the lake or whether you end up in paradise, that ain't no joke.
No, it ain't.
It ain't.
That's serious business.
I ain't trying, you know, I'm telling you over and over and over again, I ain't trying to end up in the lake. I'm not trying to, to end up there. And when I see something that says lake on it, trust me, I'm changing.
Mm. Mm.
And asking the Most High, forgive me for the only way I'm doing that now is I didn't know.
Because
I'm not willfully doing anything I know is going to send me to the lake.
No, I'm not.
No.
And can't nobody make me.
Amen.
No, not at all.
Not you know, that's a trip to the lake. Why would I do that? Now, is that what I'm doing ignorantly? The Most High says, okay. It's all good. Today I send somebody to tell you that it's wrong and show you it's wrong, then you need to do one thing, repent.
Yeah.
And turn away from it. So these things don't change. It just don't. It just reiterates it within me.
He's
a father, he changes not. He changes not. So as we start getting into the New Testament, and I said I would deal with marriage first in the New Covenant because, it's, you know, this is a trigger point. This is a hot button today. Because we live in a society that just teaches that, hey, you ain't having, just get divorced. You know, one of you mess up, you get divorced.
Now, we in society today where you ain't got to get married.
Huh?
I said, we in a society today, you ain't got to get married.
No, that's, yeah, that, you know, no, that marriage is, it's a choice. And just like, that's what, you know, there are circumstances where the Most High says, if you're going to be having SEX, marriage is not a choice. It's mandatory.
Yeah.
And if, just like when they went into those harlots, Judah, you know, a different time, you know, I was thinking about this, I don't know if it was this morning, can't remember where I was at, but Messiah took away, well, I think I was thinking on this precept and, you know, going before the Most High, and the thoughts he brought back to me was, in the law, it says that a man could put away his wife if she's showed what any uncleanliness, if he thought that she, you know, was unclean in any kind of way. Didn't even name anything specific. So he could really just name anything he wanted to name. But Messiah came and said, you can't divorce her for any reason except for she fornicated. She went outside the marriage. So he took away all those excuses, all those reasons. But then I'm also looking at the marriage contract and I'm looking at the divorce contract. Because it takes two people to enter into a what contract? Two or more parties.
Yeah.
And the contract couldn't have been one-sided. So the woman had to be able to make some stipulations or by the law. So here's one. By the marriage contract, the man, by the Most High says the man is supposed to provide the woman's housing, her clothing, her food, and what? Sexual relations. By the contract.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to provide all those things. He's supposed to care for her. He's supposed to cheer her up. He's supposed to love her. You got people making contracts today just on sexual agreements.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll pay for your nails to get done as long as I can come by and hook up whenever I need to or want to. And that's the contract. And then if we ain't happy in that contract, we get out and go someplace else. Most I says, if under the marriage contract, you ain't just free to get out from under it. So they are trying to take the laws of the Most High and manipulate them. And doing whatever's right in their own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only, you know, he says, hey, man, if you put away that woman for any reason other than she went outside the marriage, you make her an adulterer. But get what? You also an adulterer. You don't get out of this free. So if you really believe what the word says, and whoever married you is an adulterer, if he wanted to marry another wife, if he puts away a wife for no good reason, he got multiple wives, he became an adulterer, what does his second wife become?
Adulterer too?
She's an adulteress too. She's in it because she's married to a what?
Adulteress.
An adulterer. So here's a scenario. I got two wives. I don't like one of them for whatever the reason. She ain't messed around, but we ain't getting along. I decided to give her a bill of divorce. Messiah says, if I do that, then I cause her to be an adulterer. But because she ain't messed around, I'm also an adulterer. I got a second wife. I just became an adulterer. Then what does that make her?
Adulterous too.
We all just became what?
Adulterous.
Right. All of us. And if I take a new one, What is she becoming? She's coming in as a what?
Too?
Right.
An adulteress too.
Amen. So when I you know, looking at this thing, the contract, you know, a contract between two people, that marriage contract was not a normal contract. Because you and I can enter into a contract. Sister Denise provides caregiving services, right?
Yes.
And then so I can say, you know what? I need you to come by and help me, whatever that is that falls in your purview of caregiving. And we sign a contract. That's you providing a service for me for pay. That's the contract. I'm going to pay you X amount. You're going to come by and you're going to provide this service. Whether it's, you know, help me pay my bills or I'm not able to wash myself, whatever the case may be. That caregiver role goes into a lot of things. And but it's not supposed to go into what? Sex. That's across the line. So you got people out here, well, I've been talking to them. They are in contract. They fit the contract. I said, what service are you providing? And one young lady just told me, whenever, you know, he comes by, I'm only with him, but it's really only a sexual relationship. He don't buy groceries for the house. He don't take me nowhere. He don't do anything. Just comes by, you know, he will pay my rent, or he'll give me the money to go get my hair done or my nails. And the service she's providing for that is sex. I said, so you prostituting yourself then? She said, no, I'm his wife. I said, no, you're not his wife. Because your contract is for sex. Look up the definition for a woman who provides sex for money. What is that called? Prostitute.
Well, nowadays they call them hookers.
Yeah, a hooker. There's many names.
Yeah.
Many different names. But, you know, I was surprised, and then she was surprised when she heard it that way. I said, because the guy that was advising her came back, because she's texting him at the same time she's talking to me. He came back and said, well, if you tired of a relationship, just stop taking the money. And go find you one man. But this is supposed to be her husband. I said, does that sound like a marriage to you?
Not at all.
Right. And she had to say it to herself. It don't sound like one to me either. I said, so this is what these brothers are doing. I said, and because you didn't want to be alone, what'd you do? You went along with it.
You go along with it.
Right. Because you'd rather not be alone. I said, but a husband and wife don't provide sex to each other as a service. It's a duty. That's the difference there. It is a moral duty. It is a spiritual duty. And that's why he says, don't withhold yourself. If you mad at me, we come to bed. Like, me and my wife's agreement has always been, no matter what we talk about or argue about, once we go to bed, all that stuff stops there for both of us.
Yeah. Don't go to bed, man. That's what my mother and father agreement was. Never go to bed angry.
Amen. Because you're not supposed to bring that bed, you know, bring that stuff into the bedroom. Because then you'll find yourself staying apart because of what? Hard feelings?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff that don't really, really matter? You're going to get over it or past it one way or the other. And usually you'll get past it if you don't withhold yourself from each other. Kind of hard to stay mad at somebody that you being intimate with. I'm sure there's some people that can do it. Okay, it's morning again. Let's go back at it. I don't see things no different. But the truth of the matter is, most I say is that we're not to withhold each other that way. And so the only way you not let that stuff interfere is, okay, it's night. We can pick this stuff up in tomorrow. But we husband and wife. And we both have needs. It ain't just one way, or it shouldn't be. If it's one way, then there's a whole nother problem. So, but our women that I'm seeing, and this is especially across Hebrew Israeliteism, these brothers that are teaching these women that they can enter into a contract and they can get out of the contract. If they're not happy, they can go find somebody else. That's not a marriage according to the Most High.
Mm-mm.
It's not a marriage. a contract. That's why it's a covenant. And a covenant is different than a contract. Covenant is agreement between me, you, and the Most High. That means that his standards apply in it. If it's just between me and you, we can make up our own what terms. And we can define it however we want to define it, because it's between you and I. But when we're making a covenant, the covenant has to include the Most High. That means his standards apply.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the difference. So I tell the sisters, and then you don't have to tell them, hey, you want to enter into a contract, whatever you and that man decide, if you agree to fornicate together because you're not married, and if you're giving it to him for, you know, because he coming by and he's paying the phone bill, or, you know, getting your weave done, or buying groceries, whatever, and that's all the relationship is, you know, I had one sister tell me, my husband says, I can't know about the other woman. I said, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He's got multiple wives, but you can't know about the other one? Why does it have to be in secret?
Right.
What kind of mess is that? If you say you believe in it, why does it have to be secret?
Right.
So, we are in trouble.
Yes, we are.
Those of us who are in truth, knowing who we are as a people, we still doing crazy stuff that's going to get us into the lake. And then those of us who ain't in truth, who haven't been awakened yet, we headed toward the lake.
Man.
Because we're not keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. So we're in trouble no matter how you look at it. As a people, individually, then you can have individuals, some individuals that are doing things the right way. But for the most part, we're not doing things the right way. Husbands putting away wives. She ain't did nothing. But just made her a what? An adulteress. Because he don't care. He just don't. I don't want to be with her no more. She don't want to be with me. And that's where the relationships have gotten too frivolous. We don't consider the whole thing out. What does the Most High say about this?
Right.
And what status is going to put me in with him? Because typically we get divorced, we ain't worried about that. We just know we don't want to what be there. But the Most High says, hey, if you're a woman and you leave, you're not free to remarry. And if you didn't commit adultery or you didn't fornicate, neither is he. But these brothers are saying that they can't. But if he put you away, he let you go, and it wasn't for that reason, then Messiah said, then he's an adulterer. Then if he remarries, then whoever marries him is marrying an adulterer. But we don't say this stuff, and we don't teach it. Well, that's your personal business. Until you start reading scripture and find out, well, whoa, my personal business just got me put landed where?
In the lake.
In the lake.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's only one fix for that, and that's to repent of it. And as a people, we got to do that. We have to. So, yeah, there's a lot of people don't want to hear this. because nobody wants to put themselves in that position. But I guarantee you, I'm going to say it this way, out of 50 people, 50 couples, 47 of them probably in that condition. Because of where we're at. There's nothing that's an absolute. And somebody did, you know, what they were supposed to do or just happened to do what they were supposed to do. Find themselves on the right side of the word. But the vast majority of us are finding ourselves on the wrong side of the word. But we don't want to be alone. We don't want to be by ourselves. And so we don't want to hear none of this. And I believe that there are some sisters that are trying to do the right things, and these brothers are just teaching them bad doctrine.
Yep.
Bad doctrine. And turning them into something that they really don't want to see. They don't see them. Because see, here's something that I was looking up at. This word whore in the scriptures, harlot and a whore are the same things. Do you know how many times a girl had to sleep with a man before she was considered to be a harlot?
One.
Right. But today's society says that a whore is what? A woman that sleeps around with a bunch of men.
Right.
But that's not the definition that the Most High gave.
No.
And so if you say that word, people become very offended real quick.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I want to sleep with one man. But you whoring for that one man. You just don't know that.
Right.
Because you ain't married to him. And all you had to do was sleep with him once. And that's the title that the Most High says that you just earned.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to hear that.
No. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, they don't want to hear it. So, but we can't do but teach the truth.
Amen.
And I'm not going to judge anybody. The word of Yah will judge.
Amen.
You know, as I told one sister, you're going to have to accept the truth, and then you're going to have to act accordingly. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
Right.
Because if I say do it, then you will say, Brother Miles said do it. I said, what does the word of Yah tell you to do? What does your conscience tell you?
Yeah.
You know, I came out and said, y'all need to keep y'all legs closed. You don't know how much flack I received from that.
That's the truth.
And I do.
Yeah, even my own wife. You can't tell them that. I said, it's the truth.
It is the truth.
Yeah.
But you can't say that. I said, yes, I can. I said, if I care about them, I have to tell them the truth.
Truth, right.
Like I tell you.
Yeah.
And if they get upset about it, I said, it's not really my problem.
Exactly.
I said, I know some of them don't want to hear that. How dare he? I got it from someone. I was like, hey, would you rather me tell you the truth or not say anything and just allow you to continue down the path headed toward the lake? I said, the Most High will get me. If you're going to ask me, why didn't you tell them? You knew, so why didn't you tell them? Well, Most High didn't want to hear it. Whether they wanted it, most people I send somebody to, they don't want to hear it. Especially if they're doing wrong.
True.
You still got to tell them. So, this is probably one of the single most issues that the vast majority of us ain't going to make it. And in the camps and in the churches, but not going to make it. Because this is one of those areas where people just seem like this is more important than being right with the Most High. I'm like, okay, my job is to simply tell you. You continue down that path, and then next time you come to me and you're in trouble and you say this, I'm going to be like, what you want me to say?
Right.
There's nothing I can say. I've already told you. That's all I can do. But we want to start off in this marriage thing, and because it's one of the areas, like I said, one of the major changes. And, you know, and especially, you know, it's always like, well, the woman don't have no recourse. The woman don't, no. The man has an obligation and a duty according to the Most High in his covenant. And if he's not doing those things, the scripture says she can leave. But then Messiah said, hey, if it's not for fornication, now for the woman, if he's not doing those things, I don't see any change where she can't leave. But she ain't free to what?
You can't be married.
Can't
unless
remarry.
You die.
Right. She can't remarry. That's still your husband. And you ain't allowed to have multiple. Nowhere in the scriptures. Now, you ain't from the Amazon or the Congo or wherever they might have one of these matriarchal societies where the woman is allowed to have more than one husband. Because there's some societies in the world like that.
Ooh.
This ain't one of them. And women who, you know, who don't like that the man in the Bible can have more than one husband, that's one of the first things they bring up. Well, what about this society? I said, that's society. You want to go serve and worship over there? Have at it. Just understand that that's not the God of the Bible over there. He don't give you that leeway. That's one-sided. So you're going to need to take that up with the Most High. I ain't got answers for everything. So if you won't believe his word, then you need to take that up with him. It's over my pay grade. But let me get to my dinner.
Uh-huh.
You two already ate?
Oh, yeah.
I try not to eat
there eating while we were studying, wasn't you?
No. I try to eat before 7 o'clock.
Oh, amen. I wish I could. Yeah, if I eat before 7, I'm going to be hungry again. But anyway, may Yah encamp his angels around, both of you, and anyone listening. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, today is what, Tuesday, Thursday, business meeting. Yeah, we will continue in the bylaws, and I will give an update on this hydroponic stuff. I'm not doing anything with the land per se, but the hydroponics, I'm very much consumed just doing it like 6-7 hours a day, building stuff and setting and what have you. So once I have this, I'm going to go buy some plants tomorrow, some baby plants just to put into this. I don't want to take the time on this one, on this concept. I got to see it working, make sure it's going to water the plants correctly before I proceed and use all this material that I have already built these other ones out of. I can rededicate it, change, you know, modify it a little bit and maybe get a bigger pump or something. But before I, you know, put all these things into production, I want to make sure that at least one of them is working the way that I need it to work and I can understand it and it's not causing any problems. So I'm going to go buy some baby plants and put them in there and see if any water is, you know, spilling out, shooting out through the cups or whatever, and then see what I can do to correct that and move forward. But I'll keep you guys in the loop the whole way. You're just not seeing me build everything. Because, like I said, it's just hard for me to tape and record and with my phone. I'm not using a camera right now because still haven't figured out how to get the sound to show up with the video. So I just started doing it with my phone. But I love you both. Love everyone out there.
You too, brother.
Remember to fear the Most High and keep His commandments.
Man.
Shalom, family.
Forever, sing His praise, which dwells.